The recent grand jury decision in the killing of Breonna Taylor focuses attention once again on racial justice. It's an issue being debated not just in cities, but also in smaller rural communities where black people are in the isolated minority. This summer, 1,000 people showed up for a Black Lives Matter demonstration in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, a town of less than 7,000. But despite the big turnout, black people in the politically progressive region say they're still struggling with equitable treatment and representation. NewsHour Weekend's Zachary Green, who grew up in this area, went back to his small town roots to learn more.
39-year-old Reggie Wingo lives in Berkshire County, Massachusetts. It's quintessential New England. Quaint, very beautiful, and very white. About 92% of the 125,000 residents here, to be precise. Wingo works for the Elizabeth Freeman Center, which offers services to domestic violence survivors. He manages their work in Great Barrington, the town where he grew up.
Growing up around here was complicated. You sort of, like, as a person of color in an area like this that's predominantly white, you have to have, like, a different set of survival skills, almost, like, socially. And I think the first time I really noticed that, like, it mattered at all was, like, in fourth grade, you know, like, we're at recess, like, getting a fight with a kid over, like, kickball or something totally ridiculous, and, you know, he called me a That's when I sat down and had, like, the first talk, like, with my parents about, like, how some people are racist, and, like, that is a fact.
Black people make up only a little more than 3.5% of the population in the Berkshires, but the county has been home to some significant figures in black history. Wingo's organization is the namesake of Elizabeth Freeman, the first enslaved person to win her freedom under the Massachusetts state constitution. Her case in 1780 led to abolition throughout the state. The civil rights activist and NAACP co-founder, W.E.B. Du Bois, was born and raised in the Berkshires. And while the black community here is small, it has had periods of greater visibility.
Between the 60s and 70s, there was a lot more diversity in the schools. City Hall was more diverse, so there was more presence.
Dennis Powell is the president of the NAACP's Berkshire County branch. He grew up in Pittsfield, Berkshire County's largest city.
Even the relationship with the police was completely different. Walking home from the boys' club, I always hoped that I would run into a police officer because I felt safe. Police officers knew our name. They knew our parents' names.
But many black people in the Berkshires still struggle more than their white neighbors. About 36% of black residents here live in poverty, compared to about 10% of the white population. That economic divide exacerbates the feeling, shared by many, of being unseen.
What are some of the biggest issues that you hear about from black and brown communities here in the Berkshires?
Mainly, it's about the invisibility of the African American community in our county in certain spaces, right?
Gwendolyn Van Sant is the CEO and founder of Multicultural Bridge. Her organization works with local businesses, financial and cultural institutions to help increase minority representation in the Berkshires. One of her clients is The Mount, home of the author Edith Wharton. We spoke with her there.
Even if an organization has been able to integrate African Americans at some level, they're not at leadership levels of any of our, you know, larger organizations that you would find in any community.
Dennis Powell, who helped to pass an affirmative action ordinance in Pittsfield, says achieving prominence as a black person in the Berkshires can be an uphill struggle.
This young lady who had graduated top of her teaching class had been substituting. She applied for a teaching position that opened up, but they gave the position to a white male because he had 10 years experience. And we said, no, affirmative action is not based on experience. It's based on qualifications. She is of color, so that becomes the role model for so many of our kids. If she could be a substitute, she could be a teacher. And they gave her the job.
People sort of identify Central Berkshire, Pittsfield, with having people of color. And then so programs, if there are any, get concentrated there. And I'm saying, well, what about the children that are one or two of them in a grade or a classroom? The needs are actually more significant in a lot of ways. And so those 10% populations need attention and need support and resources, which has been a challenge for my organization, because if you apply for a grant, I can't compete with Boston with numbers, but the actual need in a community might be really greater in some ways because there isn't community around them to support them and create safety that they need.
20-year-old college student Dori Nduki says she's experienced that need for community. She moved to the Berkshires from Tanzania when she was 7.
Do you remember what it was like for you going from an environment where everybody shared the same skin color as you to going to one where almost no one did?
I think it's the first thing I noticed in every room I walked in or in any community that I was going to be a part of. The only time my blackness was really recognized was when white people really felt like they had no idea about certain subjects, and so people would come to me as the only black person as their reference or as their, you know, source of knowledge.
Despite experiences like this, the Berkshires are still considered a very progressive place. But since the killing of George Floyd in May, there have been increased signs of racial polarization here. This summer, a Black Lives Matter sign in one Berkshire town was defaced with hate speech. For Dorian Dookie, it's been a particularly upsetting time.
I've just been so angry and frustrated because it just seems like there's no end. And when you can't really see an end, it's hard to see or figure out how you can be useful in, you know, preventing it or for helping other people. So that's been the hardest, I think.
And Dookie decided to take action in her own way. With the help of a local youth organization, the Railroad Street Youth Project, she was able to put up a mural commemorating the Black Lives Matter movement in her hometown of Great Barrington.
I think what was fantastic about the protest was that so many people showed up, but I think for a lot of people that came, that was like, okay, that was my one thing of social justice, like, we're done. And so I wanted to have something that would have a long-lasting effect in Great Barrington, but is for the movement, and so that's where the mural came to be.
In another progressive win, this month, Great Barrington's town council decided to rename its middle school after W.E.B. Du Bois. But Reggie Wingo is skeptical about how much even a liberal place like the Berkshires can really change.
There's a lot of handed down generational racism or bigotry that, like, sort of is like the underpinning of the Berkshires. It's strangely enough, like, one of the kids I used to have a huge problem with growing up. One of the kids my daughter had a problem with, I came to find out, is the son of this dude. No one is born intrinsically racist. You can tell exactly what is going on with parents by how their children act.
And Dorian Dookie isn't sure the Berkshires is a place she would want to live long term.
Can you picture yourself ever setting down roots here in the Berkshires, coming back and moving here after you're done with college?
I would like to say that I would, but I just... It's very frustrating always being the only black person or, you know, not having a lot of black friends in the area to have a sort of community. So I would move back if that happened.